It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Not really, you know, because I, you know, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like, you know, I should be playing. You know what I'm saying? So rotation is really not a big factor for me, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, they call it, I haul it. So I just try and continue to go out there and do the best of my ability.
They call it, I'll haul it, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Is that something that's said in football circles, or is that something you hadn't heard before? I don't think I've heard that before.
Never heard it.
You call it, I'll haul it. That's what they say about Sidney Crosby, too. You tell me to go deliver tickets, I'll just haul the tickets over to someplace.
Eli Holstein, too.
And now I'm sad. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And right now we're joined on the Fan Hotline by Trey Essex. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Trey, thank you so much for joining us last minute today, man. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, fellas. How about you?
We're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that you were up and tweeting about offensive line things, so we said, hey, let's reach out and see if you want to talk about some offensive line things. So
there's not too many hours in a day that go by that I don't think about offensive line things.
I love it. I love it. Trey Essex with us. Trey, a rotation at right tackle. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how stupid is it?
It's every situation is different. I don't want to say it's stupid. Definitely unexpected. Obviously, it was Troy's first game action, so they didn't want to just throw him into the fire, and they still obviously believe Broderick deserves a shot, I guess, deserves a shot to keep the position. But it is troubling that it's gotten to this point where you got a rookie coming off an injury already impeding on starting or minutes at the right tackle position. That's more of an indictment against Broderick than anything else, obviously, at this point. And then he didn't do himself any favors with his performance in the game.
Well, what do you think is wrong with him? Like, we could say it's the injury, but he's not on the injury report. You could say it's the elbow. Hasn't shown up on that report at all. Like, what do you think is going on with Broderick Jones?
It's mental. It's all mental. I mean, he is an athlete. He has every single thing. He's shown he can play the position, albeit he wasn't really pushed last year at right tackle. We saw Chooks wasn't really I think he had checked out. And we see Chooks has already checked out in New England. He's gone. So I don't think there was a whole bunch of competition for Broderick. But now that he has somebody there pushing him, and he hasn't really made any inroads at left tackle with Dan Moore, who has been, I feel like, on every fan's cutting block for the last two or three years, but he still manages a way to come up and perform and be solid enough that he gives the coaches confidence to keep him blocking on the blind side. So Broderick is on an island by himself and doesn't quite know where he fits in right now. I think that he thought he would be the left tackle and given the position. He hasn't earned it, obviously. And right tackle, he's getting pushed by a kid who seems, by all accounts, to be hungry and wants to play, and who came in and played a damn good game once he played the rest of the game. So Broderick has some work to do. He it looks like he might be in a little bit of the doghouse with Tomlin and Myers, and he's going to have to show up. I don't know what else to say, because this is definitely mental. He has all the physical tools, but for some reason, he's not putting together in practice enough to give the coaches faith to put him in.
Trey Essex joining us here on the Fan Morning Show Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. So you mentioned the confidence thing, and hey, simply, when you get out there and you have to perform, you got to perform. That's professional sports. But how much blame do the Steelers deserve for maybe his lack of confidence with the way that they've approached things with him?
Man, he's a grown-ass man. Dude, like, you're getting paid $1 million to play this game. I mean, they're not going to – you don't need to be coddled, especially on the offensive line. If you can't come in and – like, the coaches are putting him in the best situation as possible for him. He came in and it gave faith that he could come in and play right tackle. He came in as the starting right tackle. That's enough, at least for me, to show that I need to do what I'm supposed to do on my end to justify their faith in me. And, like, as far as the coach, you can't give a kid confidence. I mean, I guess you can take away confidence, but you can't give them confidence is what I'm saying. Like, you can back up what they're saying. You can give them all the platitudes and attaboys and whatever, but ultimately it comes – you need to have some intestinal fortitude and drop your nuts and get out there and ball out, because I don't like that whole what are the coaches doing to make him feel better and whatever, all this nonsense. No, go out there and play ball and get the job done.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were part of a rotation, like a series by series rotation, and how hard is that? Like, you know, we talked about the whole, you know, the structure of what happened and Faltano going in there, Broderick going in there, but individually, like, how hard is that for your position, an offensive lineman, to do that? You see that with receivers, you see that with DBs, linebackers, but I've never really seen that with offensive linemen. I'd assume that it's pretty hard to get into a rhythm if you're rotating.
Well, I mean, in the preseason, obviously, you do rotate, but I've never gone into a regular season game that counted at college or NFL where there is a game plan to rotate every other series of offensive line. Being the sixth man on the offensive line, I've gone in at multiple positions throughout a game, but I knew what my role was going into that week. And so I was prepared for that. But I mean, I can't speak to it from a personal standpoint of going into a plan, going into a week, planning to rotate on a series to series basis. That has to be tough. I'd imagine that it mentally is tough, but at the same time, if you know what you got going on, and you, all you can do is concentrate on the plays that are given to you and go out there and execute them to the top of your ability. And but no, from a personal experience, I've never had that happen. When I've started the entire game, and or else I've backed up and come in at multiple positions throughout a game.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Trey Essex, offensive lineman, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. A lot of negative, so let's go with the positive. How'd you view Troy Faltanu's first action?
I thought he did fantastic. And it's tough because he was coming in with the game plan of rotating every now and again, every other series with Broderick. And then once Broderick got pulled and he got put in there, he justified that move. And he played the entire game. You didn't hear his name called at all as far as giving up pressures. I thought he played well in the run game. Now, granted, that second half of football as an offense as a whole was nothing to write home about. We had way too many three and outs, stalled as an offense. And so the offensive line, I thought, played really well in the first half. Really, really well in the first half, with the exception of a couple of plays. Some penalties, obviously, that took away some big plays. But in the second half, I think we left a lot to be desired, especially in the run game where we could have put those guys away. Granted, I thought Denver played a much more aggressive style of defense in the second half, but we need to adjust. But all in all, I thought Troy played fantastic.
Do you think Justin Fields has more in the tank, or you think this is what Justin Fields is, what we've seen?
He definitely has more in the tank.
Okay.
He definitely has more in the tank. And obviously, we've had some big plays the last 2 weeks get called back, and it changes the whole dynamic of the game if those plays count, you know, those deep passes to the GP in both games. And so who knows how much we open the offense if we complete those or – and I think we definitely go into preservation mode after a while, especially when you're getting penalties every other play in this last game, and you're just trying to protect the lead. So I think the more the offensive line gets comfortable, the more Arthur gets comfortable with what Jess can do, I think we'll see the playbook open up more. But he definitely has way more to bring to the table. I think he's playing conservative football. He knows that he does not want to turn the ball over. That's the quickest way for him for Russ to get inserted into the lineup is if he starts turning the ball over. So I think that's in the back of his head. He's doing the safe conservative plays and going deep when he has the opportunity to. But I think there's definitely more there.
If Russ were healthy, would you still go with Fields this week?
Yeah, I think I would. I think this team is rallying behind him. I love his demeanor, his calm. Every single presser, he just seems very composed. And he's well aware of the situation that he's in. He's well aware that Russ wants to play, and he's somehow playing the perfect balance of being a good teammate but also knowing and voicing that he wants to keep the job. And I think the offensive line loves blocking for him. I think Najee and Jalen love playing with him. And GP, obviously, that Georgia connection goes a long way. They seem to have some good, really good rapport out there. And I do think that we do go with Justin. I think that's the best move to go with. And I wouldn't be mad at it at all.
Trey, that was awesome, man. Thank you for jumping on late notice. You were raring to go talk some ball, couldn't man. Wait.
Always, man. It's always on my mind.
Thanks a lot, Trey. Appreciate it, buddy.
No problem.
Thanks, Trey.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, yep. Trey Essex, said that Broderick Jones is a grown-ass man.
He is.
You know, he makes a compelling argument when they're not in the same situation, Faltanu and Broderick Jones, because Faltanu gets thrown in and Broderick Jones' role gets diminished. But they are, once you're in between the white lines, they're in the same situation. You're rotating between two tackles. One guy played well. One guy played really bad.
Well, one guy played well whenever there wasn't a rotation anymore.
Another good point. Once he knew, okay, Broderick just shot himself in the foot.
Now I got this whole game to get that rhythm, to figure it out. That's why I kept asking and kind of pushing that question. Like, that has to be hard. And this isn't to make excuse for Broderick Jones. Like Trey said, he's a grown-ass man. And he's got to figure it out. It is all mental. You could just tell because he's hesitant.
Yeah.
And then he's thinking. And then when you start doing that, then you commit penalties. Like, I don't think it's an injury at all. Like, at all. I think it's all mental. But you did see in Faltanu, it's great that Faltanu played the way he did. But it's just ironic that he started playing the way he did. I wonder how it would have looked if that rotation would have held up all
day. Yeah, maybe both guys just wind up not playing all that good.
I wonder what it looked like.
And as far as the injury is concerned with Broderick Jones, there's a play that's now circulating on the interwebs on the All-22 where he had a really good rep, too, where he crushes a guy, gets to the second level. Like, I do think it is probably more mental than the injury. I'm sure the injury. Of course, it's not going to help. And I hate saying this, but I am caught a little bit in between. I do not respect the way the Steelers are going about this. I think they've screwed it up, really going back to last season. That being said, when you play and you are a first-round pick and you had success at the right tackle position last year, when you're in there, you got to play well. You've got to play well because you have to take advantage of your opportunity. So I think they're screwing it up. I don't think he's helping himself either.
No.
And this isn't the first time. Kevin Dotson leaves and gets a contract to, at a time, make him the highest-paid guard in football. You know, Kendrick Green stunk here because they utilized him incorrectly. They miscast him. He goes off and at least became a useful player. They have a history of this now, and I'm worried that Broderick Jones is going down that path. It's early. What has he started? 10 games? 9 games now his NFL career? Like, it's early. I am concerned. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Add Trey Essex to the list of people saying, yo, you should roll with Justin Fields. Well, how about a 2-time Super Bowl champion quarterback who's saying the same thing? We'll let you hear from that guy.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
React when we return. Thanks to Trey Essex for jumping on with us at 8 o'clock. Two-time Super Bowl champion, offensive line expert. He doesn't like the attitude of Broderick Jones right now. He continues to tweet about it as we speak. Didn't like what Broderick had to say after the show. Here is something positive about the offensive line. 29 pass blocking sets for Zach Frazier in his debut, zero pressures allowed. 29 pass blocking sets for Troy Faltano, zero pressures allowed. So each of those guys playing well. Also, Trey said that if Russell Wilson were healthy this week, he would start Fields. Well, someone else said just that yesterday, Doran. Big Ben.
It's to me, if Russ is healthy, I'm sticking with Justin.
Hmm. That was my next question.
I know. I said it last week I wouldn't. But what I saw today, I think that he has earned and deserves the right to stay there.
Doran?
I think he's earned the right to stay there. But I still want to see Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. see what he can bring to the table. I want to see if this offense can do something different. But I think he's earned the right. I mean, I think that we say this every week. We'll see this week, you know? Let's see if it looks any different. If it looks the same this week, then I think that, you know, I think that when Russ is healthy, if he is healthy for that fourth game, I think you got to go to him. But I do believe that Justin Fields absolutely has earned the right to stay there. You know, it really comes down to turnovers and being efficient with the football, and that's what he's been asked to do, and he's done that.
Yeah.
And he's used his legs. He's shown the Justin Fields that what his best attributes are at times. I mean, the deep ball, and Trey's right. And we've said this too, a lot of people understand this, that, you know, if some of those deep balls that were connected weren't called back, like, then I don't even know if we'd be having this discussion.
I don't think we would.
You know?
You see it, and it is not reflected in the box score. Like, case in point, I thought, and Ben actually said this on the podcast yesterday too with Spence, George Pickens had a profound impact on that game.
Yeah.
He draws a pass interference. He has the 51-yard catch that gets called back due to penalties. So if you say that he had a profound impact, even though the box score wouldn't reflect it, you would have to acknowledge that Justin Fields did some good things to put him in that position too. And those things work hand in glove tandem, right? I think Justin Fields has done a nice job of doing exactly what he's been asked. And so I can't say he hasn't done a good job. Like, you can only do what you are tasked with. If Craig Riley said, guys, you've got to talk about the Pirates for 4 hours and 20 minutes, we would do it, and we would do a good job of it, I think. I'm happy he doesn't do that. Doesn't dictate our content or anything like that. But you do what your bosses ask you to do, and then you got to execute that. Like, Caboli came on with us yesterday, and he said he hasn't learned anything about Justin Fields through two games. I vehemently disagree with that. I didn't know Justin Fields could be protect the football guy. I knew he could be dynamic playmaker guy, but the knock against him has been twofold. One, 10 and 28 or whatever it is as a starter. can't win games. Well, he's 2-0. The other thing, he turns the ball over like a madman. Well, guess what? Hadn't turned it over.
Yeah.
So I've learned that about him. And I got to say, they're making it really easy on guys like me who talk and spout into a microphone because they're going to give him one more shot. And now, again, you want to see, can you not shoot yourselves in the foot? And then see what it looks like then. Because I would probably cede it to Russell Wilson if it looks like he's just managing the game again. Because I would want to see what it looks like with Russ. Because Russ is going to be turnover adverse just because that's the way he plays, but he's also going to make some of those big plays. So if it's the same thing for a third game, okay, I'll go with Russ. But I'm happy that he's now going to get the opportunity to get in there for that third game.
One thing that Trey did say that I was thinking about on Sunday and like literally took my mind and he said it was, I just love his demeanor.
Mm.
I really do. Like, he's very poised. Like, nothing rattles him. He knows what he's doing. I feel like he does have control. And that's what I was looking for the most. Like, does he have control of the offense? Does he have that leadership? Can he be a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Can I vision that of him every game? He's the guy. Justin Fields, everybody relying on him. I do see that. I do.
Did you see Bo Nix in the huddle?
Yes.
When they had to call that timeout? So he's looking at all, for those of you who didn't see it, he's looking around at all of his offensive teammates. He gets the call, he shakes his head, then they all start shaking his head. Then abruptly, he looks down at his QB wrist and just stares at it for like 8 seconds. And you can see all the players in the huddle like, all right, let's go. And I said to my wife, she didn't care, I said, they're going to have to call a timeout, they're going to take a delay a game. And they line up with like 8 seconds left in the play clock, and then all of a sudden, oh, geez. You don't see any of that from Justin Fields. And it should be a low bar to clear as a fourth-year quarterback, but it's nice to see that new offense, new guys, it is only 2 games into his Steelers career, none of that stuff either.
No.
We're not seeing like snap issues, but I put the last one at least on Zach Frazier. Apart from that, he seems to have a mastery of everything, and you're even talking beyond that, just the leadership quotient.
Yeah.
Which his teammates in Chicago, if there's one thing they said about, they love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And coaches love the guy, too. So, hey, I'm happy he's getting a third opportunity. And I do think he's deserved it, like you said.
I just want to see them let him cut loose a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're 2-0, right? Like, on the road. You come back home. You're facing an AFC opponent. Like, I'm not going to say that you can afford to lose a game, but, you're going to lose football games in the NFL. Like, let's see what the whole dinner table looks like. Let's see it. At home. Cut it loose. And then you can get a real evaluation on what you need to do moving forward, what you need to do moving forward this year, and then possibly in the future. I would love to just see that.
Well, and I hope that the game script dictates that this week, too. Like, you got up 10-0 on Denver, and you go, all right, see ya.
Right.
You get up on Atlanta, and you realize that Kirk Cousins couldn't move, and they had a great game plan. Okay, we don't need to put the ball in harm's way. But Justin Herbert should be a better quarterback in this game. Like, this is a game where they should have the quarterback advantage, the other team. And so while I think the Steelers' defense is still very good, if not the best in the NFL, you're probably going to need more 13 points to win the game.
Yeah.
So they should have to have him cut it loose a little bit in this one. All right, more on that as we go forward with the show. But on Tuesdays, we like to take a look around the league. A statistic that could spell doom for two division rivals and one that could be very, very good for your Pittsburgh Steelers should it come to be. Oh, baby. Going around the NFL, brought to you by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. Doran Bill Barnwell wrote a piece. He of ESPN, real big analytics guy. He points out that if you would expand the playoffs to 14 teams like it is right now, and then go all the way back to the year 2002, teams that start 0-3, only 3 teams out of 103 would make the playoffs.
Huh.
So the Ravens at 0-2 go into Dallas. Ruh-roh, Raggy. Cincinnati's got Carolina. Think they might be able to navigate that one, but they're 0-2. You drop to 0-3, you got a real tough chance of making the playoffs. Meanwhile, on NFL.com, says that teams that start 3-0 have a 76% chance to make the playoffs. So if the Steelers were able to win a game where they're a favorite at home this weekend, they'd have a good chance to make the playoffs. But looking at the Ravens, looking at the Bengals, Who's more in the soup here, do you think?
Oof, man. I think the Ravens will figure it out. I think they just have too much power. They're just trying to find their way. But I don't know about the Bengals. I'm not really high on the Bengals.
You weren't coming in.
No. I just don't know. I think that Joe Burrow, I think you've seen the best of him. I still think he's a really good quarterback, but I think we've seen the best of him whenever he made it to a Super Bowl. They got a lot of stuff going on. You know, it feels like in the whole offseason, T. Higgins, I mean, Hendrickson, you know, Jamar Chase, you know, Joe Burrow coming back from an injury. They always got something going on, I feel like, that causes them to almost implode a little bit.
I agree with you with everything they've got going on internally. Their schedule allows for them to not have all their ducks in a row and figure it out. I said they have the Panthers this week. My apologies, incorrect. Next best thing, the Commanders. So you got the Commanders at home, Monday Night Football. Next week, you got the Panthers. And then, Doran, Ravens-Bengals on October 6th. So you should be, even though they lost to New England already, you should be 2-2 and get your feet under you. The Ravens at the Cowboys, Bills at home, at the Bengals, then you got the Commanders. Then it's Buccaneers and Browns.
Oh, man.
I mean, it could get late early for the Ravens. And I heard this stat yesterday. So the Cowboys got their doors blown off this week to the Saints. They also got their doors blown off at home in a playoff game. But this was the first regular season loss in Jerry World in their last 18 home games.
Oh, wow.
So the Cowboys are favored. I would expect you're going to get the Cowboys' best. I'm not saying that you're not going to get the Ravens' best, because generally off of losses, they're pretty good. Now they're off of two. That's a humdinger of a game. Oh. Two teams trying to get right, and one team, again, it gets late real early. You start 0-3, and you're the Ravens. You got the Bills, the Bengals, Buccaneers, Browns all coming up. You are in the danger zone fast. And then there's another thing. Every kicker in the league is automatic now, seemingly, beyond 50 yards, save for one guy.
Yeah.
Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
And if you think about where Justin Tucker has been in his career, like, how many times do the Ravens get in plus territory and you just, okay, we got three
money.
Points. Now the other teams across the league can do that and you can't? That's got to screw with Harbaugh's head a little bit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, that's been such a cheat code for them. I've hated that kicker, even though he seems fine, like a good guy, whatever. I've hated that kicker for so long because every time they get the ball, you're in field goal range. Not so much anymore.
No.
The Bengals' schedule allows, Doran, I think, for them to get off the mat here. If you're Baltimore, I mean, is this a must-win game, week three? I think it kind of is.
I mean, the statistics that you just read off said it is.
Yes.
Basically. What was the percentage, 0-3?
So if you're 0-3, you go back to 2002, only three of 103 teams would have qualified for the postseason. Three of 103. Look, it just doesn't happen. And I think they got real issues. They were rotating their tackles. I look at some of the advanced stats that are in this Bill Barnwell piece. I didn't have to go that far to look it up. Throwing the ball down the field, Lamar Jackson has been inaccurate this year. Something's amiss there. Something's amiss, like you said, in Cincinnati. But at least they battled tough against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, both teams lost a game they shouldn't have lost. At home against Las Vegas and Gardner Minshew and you're the Ravens, and then the Bengals, you're going to lose week one?
I'll take that. I'll take the Bengals loss on Sunday, though, over the Ravens loss. I'll take losing to Kansas City in a close game than losing to the Raiders at home.
Yeah, and the Raiders came back.
I guess that's just as bad as losing to the Patriots in the first game of the year if you're the Bengals.
If I'm the Bengals, I write that off. Like, if I'm trying to have psychological warfare with my own team, that's a really bad loss. We saw it happen last year. I mean, that'll screw your whole season up. But this is what they do, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sort of gives me a little bit of faith in Cincinnati that, okay, they seemingly always struggle early on, and they find a way to get it done if their quarterback stays healthy. Also, Joe Mixon's been playing well. I think Cincinnati's missing that guy.
Yeah, yep.
One quick text here that we got, because we were talking about Justin Fields in the last segment. If Kenny played the way that Justin Fields did through two games, you guys would be killing him. I think we were as fair as a show as you could find on Kenny Pickett, first of all. Second of all, and I'm not pooping on Kenny. I'm not. Kenny had three games in his career as a Steeler with a quarterback rating over 90. Three games his entire career. Now, coordinator stunk. Fields has it twice in two games. Kenny never had back-to-back games with a quarterback rating over 90. There are more important things than quarterback rating. I am factoring on offensive coordinator, but the facts are the facts. Kenny never did that in his Steelers career. All it took was Justin Fields' two games to do it. So again, I don't want to crap on Kenny, but I think there's context that is really important. Another texter. Love how you guys laugh off Gardner Minshew. Listen. Listen. Among backup QBs in the NFL.
One of the best.
I would take Gardner Minshew. But he's a backup quarterback. He's Gardner Minshew. He's not a great player. You're at home. You're at home.
What opener?
You're Baltimore Ravens. You're going to lose to that team? Brock Bauer's pretty good.
Very good.
All right, one more NFL note here, Doran. Because I saw you react to this on Twitter. Bryce Young, two games into season two, getting benched in lieu of Andy Dalton. What the hell's going on down there?
Man, what they gave up for him, too? That is just sickening. Did you see that? What Schefter posted?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here.
Oh, it would make you sick. Sick. I mean, multiple first round. I mean, DJ Moore. It's ridiculous. And I don't think it's really his fault either. I think he could be a fine quarterback in the NFL. I think he's just in the worst situation ever imagining.
I think about guys like Joe Burrow, who, okay, you go to the team that had the worst record in the NFL, but you had weapons year one. I think about CJ Stroud, year one, and you have weapons, and you have a creative play caller. And then I think about where Bryce Young landed, and you've got this meddling owner, you've got bad coaching, I mean, just watch them play, you don't have any good weapons, and I can't put that on the guy. Like you said, like, he hasn't looked good. Okay, how many quarterbacks in the first year of their career and change would look good in that situation? I think the answer is probably not a lot of them. And oh, by the by, the Steelers sent Deontay Johnson to Siberia. Deontay Johnson, week one, two catches, 19 yards. Week two, three catches, 15 yards. Five catches, 34 yards in total, Dorn.
That's tough. That's tough. You want a quick hot take?
Oh, yeah.
The Steelers, before the trade deadline, will trade for Adam Thielen of the Panthers. And that'll be their wide receiver number two.
Can I say something to you without you getting mad?
Yes.
I don't know why you would get mad, actually, about this. It's just something my wife and I say to each other. I thought you were going to go nuclear levels of hot. I thought you were going to say Deontay Johnson. Just bring Deontay
bring
back.
Bring him back?
I think Thielen's a good fit because he's actually a more stout guy. Yeah. So you could utilize him.
He wants out,
him.
Too. He was very frustrated the other day. I would be on the phone right now.
You think he's got stuff left in the tank?
He's got enough.
I'd take him. Good coaching job going on in Minnesota, by the by. 2-0, you don't have the quarterback you wanted to start.
Yeah. Darnold.
And Sam, we predicted that.
Yeah.
That Sam Darnold would look pretty good. One last thing on the Carolina Panthers as we're looking around the NFL. Why would you give up on a second-year quarterback when Andy Dalton's your guy? You're not going to make the playoffs. So why wouldn't you try to give your young quarterback more time to grow into this thing? What do you need to, like, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. He is, David Tepper I'm talking about, has jettisoned himself to the very top of the list of the worst owners in professional sports. I mean, my guy is an absolute moron. And then he goes to restaurants, and he yells at fans and business owners. My man is totally unhinged. He's throwing stuff at fans. What a terrible situation.
Oh, it's tough.
I do have one more thought on the whole Deontay Johnson thing when we come back, too. Got to breathe. We plowed through that. Plus, Sidney Crosby back. Signs a 2-year extension with the Penguins. Will be around for the next 3 years. Should he want to be here? That's the subject of the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. 50-minute mark on the fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. there's a lot of dumb stuff that happens on ESPN, things they talk about. Wait until you hear this coming up in about 7 minutes here. First, though, Mike Tomlin gets a lot of flack, Dorn, for kind of letting guys run roughshod on him. Like Melvin Ingram forces his way out, has success. LeGarrette Blount forces his way out, wins a Super Bowl. James Harrison forces his way out. We know how that story ended. I think Mike Tomlin now has an example he could point to. You want to F around, you're going to find out. You want to be a bad locker room guy, you want to fight teammates, you want to quit on plays, we'll send your ass to places like Carolina.
Right.
I mean, you think about Deontay Johnson. You know, Deontay, I thought, was always a little bit better on the field than people gave him credit for. But, look it, man. If you're not going to fall in line, it looks like this new administration, maybe it's that more than anything, is just not going to suffer fools.
Uh-uh.
And so, you bring in a guy who's going to act out. Hey, Chooks, you're going to get sent to the bench. Oh, hey, Deontay, we're going to send you to worse than the bench. You're going to go to Carolina. I just think this could be a point of reference now for Tomlin. Like, you're either going to fall in line or we'll send you somewhere. We're not sending you to New England.
No.
You're not going to wind up in Kansas City or wherever.
Right.
Right? You're going to wind up there or someplace. Hey, Chase Claypool, you want to go play for the Chicago Bears and see where your career goes after that? I think Tomlin has one in his back pocket now, and I like that.
Yeah, good point.
And Dante Jackson, I mean. What's not to like about this guy?
Yeah, he's playing well.
I still would have rather had Brandon Ayuk than Dante Jackson, and I wonder if you had Deontay Johnson, if you would also have Brandon Ayuk because you would have traded Deontay Johnson for Brandon Ayuk. But that being said, it's worked out pretty well so far for the Steelers. And Dante Jackson, I mean, he could have had two picks game one, had that great tackle for loss in game number two. Right now, I'd say you have to give that trade an A.
Well, I mean, the receiver still. Receiver spot still.
That's true. You did create a hole.
Yeah.
And a massive one at that. Like, I saw even Dulac wrote that over the weekend. Like, the Steelers will need a legitimate number two if they are going to actually compete in this thing. You mentioned Adam Thielen. You've been dead right on stuff like this, man. Like, you had Justin Fields. You had, who's the other quarterback? Russell Wilson. I forgot about him already.
He's gone.
He hadn't played. Forgot about that guy. You had both of those things happening. If it's Adam Thielen, I'm buying you a steak dinner.
All right.
But why do I do this? But even if it's not, I do think you and I are in lockstep on you're 2-0. You got a chance to go 3-0 here. If you're 3-0, you got a chance to have a pretty good record at the deadline, but you're still going to be missing a key component. I would put good money down that they're going to trade for a wide receiver before the deadline.
Would you trade Broderick Jones? He's not playing.
No, I would trade Dan Moore.
Well, if he's playing very well,
then I think I'd be able to get something pretty good for him. Because here's the thing about all that. Let's say Dan Moore, this is a good question. Even if Dan Moore has a great season, and two games good, first game really good. Let's say he has a great season. I don't want to pay what it would cost to keep him, which is going to be an awful lot of money when I have two guys with pedigree who could be my tackles. You know what I mean?
Draft again.
Man, I ain't willing to wave the white flag on Broderick. Would you trade Broderick for a wide receiver?
If it becomes a situation, and I don't think it will, I don't believe in I think Broderick Jones' head's in the right place. He's just having some mental football things going on right now. I don't think he's a guy that doesn't work hard. But if it became like a choose a core four situation where there was a lot of friction going on, he started becoming a cancer in the locker room, and Dan Moore's playing and it's playing well, and I can get a legit receiver, yeah.
So I just said all that stuff about Deontay. You bring up Chooks. I brought up Chooks. Chase Claypool. I don't think Broderick's that kind of guy, but I could see how Mike Tomlin would misconstrue the quote that he gave at the end of the game. I think we're going to find out maybe a fair amount about how Tomlin views Broderick Jones today in his press conference.
If Broderick Jones doesn't see the field the rest of the year and you intend to not have him see the field because the two tackles are playing well, he'd be sitting on the bench. He's not going to be an extra tackle. He'd be getting zero reps. You need a receiver. Why would you just have a guy sit on the bench? I mean, I know that the future is a play, but I mean, are you in win now mode or what? I don't know. Like,
we've heard a ton of Tomlin news conferences. If he doesn't say we're going to handle this in-house about Broderick Jones, and I think he might, but if he doesn't say we're having those discussions in-house, if he puts him on public blast, I think everything's on the table.
Yeah.
I think everything's on the table.
And we will see here in 3 hours.
Look at you.
Uh-huh.
Look at you.
I would think about it.
There's a trade the Steelers definitely aren't going to make, but it's making its way around national circles. We'll let you hear that coming up next. First, though, Fan Weather's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 79.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.